Okay, we're keeping Ask the Mayor going, especially now during the coronavirus epidemic. This week, we're with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Thanks for taking, I know you're very busy, so thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for being here, Joe. This is important, getting public information out.
Everything escalating, you know, so quickly. This is recorded on a Tuesday afternoon, so this gets played back on Wednesday morning on the radio, so yeah. We just want to be sure everybody knows some things may have changed between now and tomorrow morning. So can you give us an update locally here? What's the reality on the ground right now?
Yeah, and thank you, Joe, and thanks, everybody. The community is embracing this challenge. You know, it has really come at us quite quickly, us locally and us in Indiana and the country. And we are in the middle of a pandemic. We're really at the beginning of a pandemic. We are facing significant challenges. There's this virus has killed thousands of people around the world. It's killing people in America. It's now killed, as of this time that I know of, two people in Indiana. And it's a pandemic, and we need to respond to it collectively, and we are. We're working very closely, city government, county government, school system, Indiana University, IU Health, and other healthcare providers, to do the best we can in terms of our choices to minimize the spread. I'm pretty confident the virus is in Monroe County. We don't have any confirmed case in Monroe County, but there have only been 160 people tested or so in the whole state of Indiana, so we're just not testing. But we need to assume that it's here, because it probably is, and we're taking a lot of steps, all of us are, to diminish the impact.
Have you heard anything about testing and testing kits?
Joe, that's a really frustrating area. Look, this is not a time for finger pointing, but it's also not a time for bragging about what's going on. The testing has been a big failure in the United States. The World Health Organization says you should test everybody who you think might be infected, and we just can't do it. So we're way behind the curve on that, which means we have to play more aggressively offense to say, if you might have it, we kind of have to assume you do have it. And do the things that help protect us for that.
How do you feel about guidance coming from the state and federal level to cities like Bloomington?
Well, again, I think there have been mistakes. There always are in things like this. It's important to focus on the science, focus on the health. I think trying to get ahead of this and flatten the curve, as we say, is really important. I think it has been a circumstance where locales, cities and counties and states are moving faster than the federal government, though that may be changing as we see, which is really important. The healthcare system is what's so important. We want to be more like South Korea and less like Italy, where the healthcare system just got overwhelmed. And our heroes in the healthcare system are wonderful people doing everything they can, but we need to try to make sure we don't overwhelm that healthcare system. And I think the federal and state governments are kind of catching up on that, but it's interesting that I think locals have moved faster in some cases than the state and national.
What is the local response for that? Because that's kind of the key message right now, is that flattening the curve. Yeah. We don't want to get into the point where the Bloomington IU Health Hospital is
gets overwhelmed.
So what are the contingency plans happening right now?
Well, there's a couple parts of that question. First, what can we do? So I'm not a health expert, and the first thing I'll do is say, look to the health experts. But I know much of what they say is social distancing. Assume you might be infected, or people you know might be infected. So let's just diminish the chance for this virus to move around among us. And that means doing the things which are painful, but have to do with the schools being closed, with IU being closed, going to remote classes, with bars and restaurants and places that we gather, not assembling people together. Churches, places of worship are really changing how they do. And it's difficult. It's changing our lives. But it's the right thing to do, primarily so that we can avoid the crisis in a healthcare system. We will get through this. This is an infection. It takes some people from us, but we will get through it. The key thing is, can we do it in a way that lets our healthcare system protect us all, with ventilators, with hospital beds, and those kinds of things. So locally, it's doing that social distancing and uninfecting. From the city side and from government side, there's a lot we do to make sure we can keep operating, because government needs to keep operating. we do really important things on behalf of all of us. And so we're, every department head has developed contingency plans to protect our workforce and to protect the public.
Are there any contingency plans that you know of going or working on for the event that the hospitals could get overcrowded?
Well, yes, there are people thinking about what happens if we need to create more hospital beds, more places where people can be isolated. You know, they're very vulnerable people in our community who don't have a place they can be isolated. And so I know we're working on thinking about how we can deal with that. The first thing most of us can do is remember, even if we don't feel at risk, if we're young and strong and feel like we're not at risk, we all know somebody in our family or a friend who is at risk, and what we're trying to do, who have risk factors, high risk factors, and what we're trying to do is diminish the chance that those friends and family who are so much more at risk, if they're elderly or have underlying disease problems, that we protect them too.
But there's nothing along the lines of, and again, I'm just kind of as an example, using the convention center or other big, you know, assembly hall if it's needed.
Well, yes, there are emergency plans really developed for all kinds of different emergencies where we might need to house people. Now, in this circumstance, you have to house people a little differently because you don't want to have hundreds of people on the floor of assembly hall. You want to have people in smaller groups, more isolated. That's the whole point. But those are in the plans, and we haven't had to invoke those yet. But that's one of the reasons that we talk and meet regularly as the government leaders and emergency leaders. And let me just thank again, you know, the police department's operating, the fire department's operating, the health system's operating, the water systems are operating, the sanitation systems are operating to keep our community able to function in those ways that are so important.
We talk about the general public, but what about here at City Hall? Are jobs being cut or any seasonable or any season type jobs being cut?
You know, yes, we are changing how we operate in City Hall and city government overall, both as ways to protect our workforce by having fewer interactions. One example, for example, in the police department, they're very important patrol officers. We're doing different protocols so that they don't sit in a room together as much, so they don't interact with non-police officers as much in the office, that the two shifts don't overlap. So if there is somebody who gets sick, we're protecting that. We're doing a lot of teleworking with people in City Hall. We're doing a lot of cross-training because one of the challenges is this is a marathon, not a sprint. This is not like a tornado that hits and then you clean up and we're back to where we used to be. This is a marathon. And so we have to plan, well, what if 20% of our employees are not able to come to work because of sickness or because of family needs or other things? How do we operate a water plant? How do we operate the police department? How do we operate the fire department? How do we operate sanitation? And all of our departments have plans in place for that.
And there are a lot of people that are scared. They're worried because they feel like they are losing jobs. And heard something that a lot of restaurants that close may not even be able to reopen again. Is it too early to start thinking about those people or messaging to those people who are without jobs right now?
Absolutely not. Now I think we will get through this. I think fear is not helpful. I think preparedness and intentionality and thinking and working together and paying attention to our professional health advisors is important. The economic effects are real, and we're already seeing them. This is one area where I do think the federal government and the state government need to step up very quickly to make clear that if you lose a job or if you can't work because of illness or family demands, we will take care of you. So I know unemployment insurance, for example, is critically important. That's why we have it when you lose your job. The idea of the federal government looking at supporting a stimulus package to help people, not just institutions, but help people who are dealing with this is really important. And I'm hopeful and I'm confident that that will happen. But, you know, we could be in a recession right now. You often don't know you're in a recession until later. We're certainly going to see some economic costs of this. That causes stress with families and kids and hunger and housing. And we're doing a lot of things like not having utility cutoffs and trying to make sure there are no evictions and protect people so that we can get through the health crisis and then help rebuild the economy.
Can the City Volunteer Network mobilize to help people in need?
Joe, let me just say, it's already incredible the people that are stepping up and volunteering and raising their hand and saying, how can I help? And that's a wonderful thing. We have people helping getting food to kids who are out of school. We have People helping the social service networks make sure they have resources they need, the arts institutions, and we have people raising their hand, and absolutely volunteering is great and helpful. I know the United Way is helping coordinate some of that, our volunteer network and our community and family resources department, and we all need to help take care of each other. We all know if we have a neighbor who's elderly, or we have somebody who's at risk, call them, check on them. If they're short of food, if they need a trip to the drugstore to get their medicines, you know, those kinds of things are really important.
What other help are you lobbying for as, you know, Mayor of Bloomington to state, federal officials? You know, we talk about medical, of course, and small business, but there are things coming up like the census and other things. What other items are you lobbying for?
Well, again, working together, city, county, health, IU Health, IU, school corporation, all together, I think it's really important that our voices be unified. And I think we haven't formally put a request in, if you will. I haven't called the governor. He's pretty busy, and we're all, you know, trying to make do with responding as we can. But I do think what they are hearing and what they'll hear from us is unemployment insurance, making sure we get money to people who are suffering from the economic impact is important. The health system, of course, is job one, and I hope and will urge that the issue of ventilators and hospital beds and, you know, some of the changes at the national level to allow more flexibility of workers moving between states or different communities is really important. But it's mostly just taking it very seriously and helping all of us not try to do scattershot responses, but what we've seen, I think, over the last week or two is a much more consistent response from cities and states, and the government, federal government's kind of catching up a little bit. The need to socially distance ourselves and change how we interact with movie theaters and at restaurants and at sporting events and all those things have changed a lot in the last 2 weeks.
How does the coronavirus epidemic here change what you wanted to do with the sustainability tax and then even the convention center expansion?
Yeah.
You know, some of these other things that have been in the news have been progressing. Does all that just kind of stop now?
Well, I think the way I would put that is, again, we're in a marathon, not a sprint. We're settling into the race. We know a lot of things we need to be doing as a community to protect against the health issues. But there's a lot of business that needs to keep going in the city. And I think it is important that we continue to do what we can that makes sense to do to protect our community as a whole. So those particular issues that you mentioned are, they haven't been front of mind for me the last 2 weeks. But I also think it's important as a community, we recognize it's important to keep jobs going and to keep economic and sustainable living happening. This has been a challenge to us, but you know, climate change is a challenge to us too. I was reading the other day about how there's some similarities between global, you got to act sooner rather than later, coronavirus versus climate change. It's going to affect all of us across the planet. It's going to affect the least able and least wealthy worst and first. And so it's important that we address this right now, but we got to recognize we're in a marathon and we have to keep our community improving. So we'll keep talking about that.
I know you're busy, you have a lot to do, so one more question. This is all unprecedented, so it's hard for some people to take this seriously. What's your message to people who are watching this about what's happening right now?
Well, thank you. Coronavirus is serious. It's killed thousands of people around the world. It's killing people in the United States. It's killed people in Indiana, and we will probably lose some people in Monroe County to this virus. So we need to take it seriously. We don't need to be afraid. We're going to get through this. We will get through it together. There are important steps to take together, and we're doing that, and we need to work together and recognize this is a disease that is challenging, dangerous, but it is manageable over time. We're in a marathon together. Take care of your neighbor, take care of your family, take care of yourself, and let's all help each other get through it, which we will.
Is there anything else I didn't hit that we should hit?
I would just say I do appreciate the media. The role of the media is really important to help share information, and I know you guys have to change how you work and appreciate you doing that and helping get the facts out to people. I had a friend who said it's important, spread facts, not germs or rumors, and you help us do that. Thank you.